Guys, let's talk about the two biggest stories heading into week one. Khalil Mack was traded to Chicago. And I think that was probably the dumbest move that Oakland made in some time, even compared to the John Gruden 10-year contract. But I don't know why you give up a player like Khalil Mack.
I mean, it was pretty bad.
I mean, at least they got two first-round picks out of that, though.
So
I mean, it's not like they completely got screwed over.
Khalil Mack got overpaid?
I mean, he got paid what the market dictates.
I'm going to be honest, I wouldn't pay. I don't think it was worth it to pay him that much. I'm not going to lie. He's a really good player, but... like, that's quarterback money, and he's not as important as a quarterback is.
He got paid, if I'm correct, $5 million more than what Aaron Donald was just paid.
Yeah, he was.
Mm-hmm. And Aaron Donald had the largest contract in largest defensive contract in history before Khalil Mack. So.
All right, so here's the full trade details. Bears get Khalil Mack, a 2020 second-round pick, 25th-round pick. The Raiders get a 2019 first-round pick, 2020 third round pick, and a 2019 sixth round pick. So you get Khalil Mack in the second rounder.
Yeah.
That's solid value. That's a proven player. Not even that. He's just one of the most dominant players in the league, including quarterbacks. And who knows if the Raiders can hit on their 29 on the first round picks that they have in 2019 and 2020. I think that it was an ugly situation because Gruden, you could tell that there was conflict. Gruden wanted to make sure that all his players know that, hey, I'm in charge. If you don't want to show up, you don't show up. I don't care. We're going to continue going. And Khalil Mack is not one of those players that you want to lose. He's a top 10 player in the NFL. He's at his best, he's the best edge rusher, in my opinion, even better than J.J. Watt or Von Miller, and he's versatile. So I think that the Raiders are going to lose a lot. I think they lose this trade, and I think Chicago gains a lot from this trade.
To be honest, the only reason I don't like this trade for the Raiders' perspective is just giving up that second-round pick. I don't think they needed to do that. I wouldn't have paid Khalil Mack that much money because I don't think he's worth it. He's not a quarterback. He's a really good player, but he's not worth giving up that much money.
But they already have their – they have their players. They have young players. Jordan Howard's going to get paid soon, but they have Trubisky in his second season. They don't have to worry about – and, I mean, will Jordan Howard command the same kind of money that a Todd Gurley – Allen Robinson won't get that kind of money soon. There's just no other player. I mean, and Roquan Smith
just
got
paid. Allen Robinson.
Yeah. What I'm saying is that they paid everybody they needed to pay. I think that that's why the Bears were able to take this. I'm gonna say risk, but well in mind that it's Khalil Mack. But you're spending a lot of your cap on him. 6 years, $141 million is a lot. But for a player that is as dominant as he can be. And for a team that has everything they have locked up, they have every position, that every necessary position, they have great players locked up at every position. So I think that this move, even though they paid him an absurd amount of money, I think that it's just like how the Rams were. The Rams paid every position they needed to pay. They got Goff his money, or they don't have to worry about giving Goff his money until a few more years. And Trubisky contract. They can wait. I think that they'll be able to I think that the way this team is built, they have the money ready to pay Mack.
The payment works now. Like, sure, they don't have any big contracts coming up, but he's still going to be $24 million against the cap for 6 years.
Yeah. All right.
Three years from now, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah. And Le'Veon Bell has yet to report to Steelers.
I don't even want to get started on this.
You don't.
Gosh.
Yeah.
He's trying to ruin my fantasy team's hopes and dreams. I mean, to be honest, I'd be surprised if he didn't show up tomorrow, but it's still – it's unnecessary stress that I don't need to have right now.
Last season he did the same exact thing, showed up late, played well. I think that he'll show up. He'll do the same exact thing. It's not a good look. It's not a I think that this can affect his value going forward. 2 years in a row, man. 1 year it's cool. You can hold out like that, but if he doesn't show up in shape, if he doesn't show up and perform like everybody expects him to perform this season, or if he comes out slow out of the gates, it's not going to be a good look, and it'll just I think it'll affect him.
I don't blame him, though. Like, you don't – like, getting franchise tag 2 years in a row is stupid. The NFL should not have – should not – the players' union should not let that happen, if I'm being honest, because
– Well, they don't have any power to stop this it. That's year, the issue.
Yeah, that is the issue. But him, if he gets hurt this year, he could be screwed in the future because he doesn't have a long-term contract, but he deserves one.
I think that he is the best player in the NFL, right? I think that
aside
best from non-QB.
That's not – yeah, best non-QB. He's the best non-QB, but he's asking for receiver and he's asking for top-quality receiver money. He's asking for that Odell money, and he just saw Todd Gurley get paid. He's going to want to – he's gonna want a little bit of both, but I think that for the amount that they use him for the role he plays, he's basically their wide receiver too. He's the best running back in the league, so I think that I could see both sides. I could see why the Steelers don't want to have to pay because so he's asking for a lot of money, and James Conner is not a bad running back. I think that
a player of his skill kind of commands that kind of money though.
But at the end of the day, the Steelers are a team that are going to want to put that spread that money out. So it's
this is also if he's going to sit out the season if he gets franchise tagged again, why would they go through all this? Why not just release his rights early in the summer and try and trade him for something?
Because at the end of the day, you don't want to lose a player of that quality.
Yeah.
Like,
but he said if they do what they're going to do, like, he will sit out and they'll lose him regardless.
Yeah. I just don't think Le'Veon wants should sit out. Like, I think that he's intelligent enough to know that, yeah, I have my value, but he'll lose in the long term.
Well, the thing is, if James Conner, their backup, ends up showing out in the games that he misses, Le'Veon's going to end up looking bad, and that could hurt his negotiations with other teams in the
what's
future.
The NFL? Hey, what's the nickname that for the NFL, like, not for long or something like that? There's replacements for everybody.
Next man up.
It's next man up for every team, every player. It doesn't matter. You, as dominant as you are, the Steelers, they don't have to have him this year or next year, but down the line, they'll find somebody that is good at running back and will fit their needs. And that's how the NFL works, and it affects the players. But I think that Le'Veon Bell is, I think if he shows up, he'll be fine, but I just think it's not a good look. And, so, yeah, we'll see how the Steelers do this week. They have Cleveland. It's not a big deal. I mean,
in a perfect world, he wouldn't have gotten franchise tagged once. He would have gotten his long-term deal.
Yeah.
But he also shouldn't be holding out because I don't think it's the right thing to do. Yeah. If something doesn't work out for you, you shouldn't just go and pout about it. Like, just play. It's kind of – it's your job.
You think
$14 million isn't insulting. Like,
you think another team will pay him? If the Steelers don't?
Every team in the NFL, if they had the chance, would pay him.
Yeah, not Bill. Bill Belichick won't. I wish he did. I wish he would, but yeah.
Bro, you look at Le'Veon Bell's 26. He's basically got 4 years left.
Yeah.
And he hasn't gotten a big contract.
Yeah.
The same exact thing happened to DeMarco Murray. He went, like, what, 100-some yards short of Eric Dickerson's record?
Yeah, and I think that's what the Steelers are looking at, age. Because running backs only – their career
you hit
only
30
gets
and you're
to
done.
30. You hit 30.
Yeah.
For some reason, you hit a wall. So I don't think they want to pay him a long contract, big money, when his value is going to go down soon. So,
I mean, it sucks. The same thing happened to DeMarco Murray.
Yeah.
He never got his contract, and now he's out of the league.
Retired.
He's
solid.
He hit 30.
Yeah. Uno. All right, so guys, season starting. And a lot of teams made many moves over the offseason. So who do you guys think are – who is the team that's going to improve to you guys the most this season? Hayden, we'll go. We'll start with you.
All right, for me, and I kind of hinted at this in the last podcast during the predictions, but it's the Houston Texans. I mean, if you look at their record last year, 4-12, they have room for improvement, major room for improvement. Of course, Deshaun Watson's back, and over the offseason, they signed Tyrann Mathieu to in free agency, which will help boost their defense if he can stay healthy. And to help their offensive line, they also got a guard from Kansas City, who's actually the 14th ranked guard according to Pro Football Focus. So the line was an issue for them last season. They now have a little more depth on the line with that signing. And I think Tyrann Mathieu is actually a pretty big deal for them signing him because he still has a bunch of talent left. So, and I have them actually flipping their record going 12-4 instead of 4-12.
Yeah, I mean, look, with Deshaun, they were in shootouts with Deshaun Watson, but I think that having a good offense this year plays not as well as he did last season because his numbers were crazy. But if he plays solid, I think that that defense will won't have to be on the field as much, and yeah, they'll be comfortable. Nick, what about you?
For me, it's going to be the New York Giants. They went 3-13 last year. But their defense played bad. Their quarterback played bad. Their entire receiving core got hurt. They were down a rookie tight end and a slot receiver halfway through the year, which, I mean, you can't really help injuries, but it was just a bad year for them. They added a lot in the offseason. They added two good rotational corners, but they added a replacement, Nate Solder, to get rid of the human turnstile that is Ereck Flowers. They added a versatile O-guard, Patrick Omame. He can play left or right guard. He's got very good run blocking, which will help Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
Jonathan Stewart came over from Carolina. He can be Saquon's third down back.
Jonathan Stewart's not going to do much. I can tell you that right now.
Ooh, spicy.
Saquon's not a good third down back. I could see Jonathan Stewart getting goal line touches too.
But I mean, this team, it's going to come down to Eli Manning if he can perform. Like, all that's great. Everything you said's great. But will Eli Manning be able to throw the ball well consistently? I think that's what it comes down to. And I think
that the addition of Saquon Barkley kind of lightens the load for Eli. He'll have if Saquon plays really well, he won't have to worry about teams having to work. Because before, he's never had a dominant running back like what we're projecting Saquon to be. What people are expecting Saquon to be. People are thinking that he's going to be a top five back in the NFL, and he's going to be the best rookie running back, and I could see why. So it's
Oh yeah, the Giants haven't had a good running game since Brandon Jacobs.
Like, so I'm on board with it falls on Eli, but I'm also, I think that for Eli, the load has been lightened a little. He doesn't have to worry about just pass. It won't fall under his passing. He'll have weapons. And this year, I guess we'll get to see just how good Eli Manning can be, which is a disgusting thing to say, but we'll see what he can do with his kind of talent. So,
Hey, if he doesn't work out, they've got Kyle Auletta, and he's better than Eli Manning. So,
yeah. All right, so my pick, this is recency bias to the max, but I got to go with the Chicago Bears. So their offense was one of the worst of the league last season, but now their head coach is a head coach with he was an offensive coordinator with the Kansas City Chiefs, Matt Nagy. And I think that he's going to be the biggest change for that team, right? So listen to all these stats. He guided the Chiefs. Last season was his first season as an OC. Guided the Chiefs to a number five team in total offense. The Chiefs finished sixth in points per game, seventh in passing yards, ninth in rushing, and led the NFL with fewest giveaways. Alex Smith had a career year, and he had career highs in yards and touchdowns. Okay? Alex Smith had been a consistent average quarterback, but last season, we saw him improve a lot. He was throwing it downfield. He was taking risks. He was a good quarterback. Not only that, but you had your starting running back in Spencer Ware got injured. And what happens? Kareem Hunt leads the league in rushing. And that's with a bad stretch in the middle of the season. And look, Chicago ranked 29th in points and 30th in yards. You add that kind of improvement, and I'm not saying that they're going to be a top five NFL offense, but I think they could be a top half or a offense that, you know, finishes in the top half of the league. And they added, you know, Allen Robinson, a solid wide receiver. So I think that Mitch Trubisky will improve this year. And to top all that, they had the best defensive player in the league at his best, Khalil Mack. And look, their defense is already a top 10 defense. They rank 9th in total defense, 7th in pass defense, 11th in rush defense. All of those are going to improve. Offenses have to focus on Khalil Mack. So all of these numbers are going to improve. And they added Roquan Smith, who was a dominant linebacker at Georgia. So I think that now, they do have a stretch at the end of the season that worries me. It worries me a lot. It's I'm going to pull up their schedule. It is Los Angeles, Green Bay, San Francisco, Minnesota to end the season. Look, wow. That is a tough schedule. But I think that they'll beat Minnesota because by then I think Minnesota will have logged up a top two seed. There's no need for them to play Kirk Cousins. They're not going to risk it. I think that Chicago can win one of those games. And I do think they could beat Green Bay. I think that I think they could beat Green Bay. I don't know if they'll beat the Rams or New England this year. But I think that – I'm also not saying that they're going to be a playoff team. It'll be a stretch saying that they make it. But at the same time, if they did, you could see why. Just the improvements.
If this team's in the AFC, I could
they make the playoffs. See them making it to playoffs. They make the playoffs.
But, I mean, them being in the NFC, I have their ceiling at about 8-8.
Yeah. You know, I think that they'll be either 8-8, 9-7. I think that – I'm not saying that they're going to be a playoff team. I'm not saying that they'll be winning 11, 12 games. But I do think that you'll see just a good defense get a lot better with these additions. And an offense, you're going to see a young quarterback who struggles his first season finally – or you're going to see him leap and improve in his second year. Alex Smith, who was a seasoned vet already – if he was able to improve, a young guy like Mitch Trubisky, he'll be able to improve. And with Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen, Jordan Howard's a great running back. You know, he has people around him.
And their offense doesn't need to be great for them to win.
No, they don't.
They have that defense.
They have that defense. That defense will keep them in games. And if the offense can just put some points on the board, I think that they'll improve. I think that this season they're not going to be. I think they're going to be all right, average, but I think that they'll improve and they'll be a team to reckon with in the future. So,
All right,
I'm going to finish now. All right, so we just gave our picks for teams that we expect to improve last season or this season. Wow. Who do you guys expect to disappoint this year? Nick, we'll let you go first.
For me, it's going to be the New England Patriots.
Boo! Boo! Boo!
Yeah, shut up. So far this season, or this all season, they've lost 3 O-linemen, including their all-pro left tackle, 2 running backs, 2 receivers, their all-pro corner. They've lost their best receiver to a 4-game suspension. Their best tight end is injury prone, and Tom Brady's pulling up on 42 now?
Around that age.
I mean, Gronk gets hurt every year and they still end up doing fine.
But what I like is that they've made his contract incentive base. The last season they did, and he was healthy for most games. The Patriots do worry me this year a lot.
I mean, this is the thinnest their receiver core has ever been. And even if they don't use receivers that much, they don't have very many.
Their running backs are injury prone. Sony Michel's hurt. Rex Burkhead's hurt. So,
Their O-line is missing some key pieces. Their defense is coming off one of the worst seasons Tom Brady's had out of a defense. So,
yeah.
And they didn't add any big defensive players. They lost probably their best secondary player. So, I'd be worried.
I thought that they lost their best secondary player midway last season in Dante Hightower, but Okay, I think those middle linebackers play. All right, Hayden, what about you?
All right, so mine is the New Orleans Saints. Now, I still think they're a talented team, and I do have a few reasons why I think they'll struggle, but for the most part, it's more of a gut feeling. I mean, the logical reasons I think they'll struggle is because Mark Ingram is suspended for 4 games. You're like, oh, wait, they have Kamara. But Kamara is not used to carrying the load. He actually only averaged 7.5 carries per game last season. So it's going to be a major jump for him to carry the load the first 4 games of the season. And he could struggle. And then you look at their schedule. 8 of their 16 games are against playoff teams from last year. And, I mean, you could say, oh, that's last year's records. But, I mean, just looking at the teams on their schedule, you look at the Rams, the Eagles, the NFC South opponents, and then you got the Steelers on there as well. I mean, I just think it could be a tough year for them just based on the schedule.
Yeah. I'm not on board with you. I think that the Saints are still going to be good. I think that Drew Brees will improve this season and not throw for 23 touchdowns. I think he'll throw for more. I think Kamara will be fine. And once Ingram shows up, everything will get back to how it was last season. I think that they'll still be fine. What about you, Nick? What do you think?
I've got a lot of faith in the Saints. I think they're contending for a Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, I think I still have faith in the Saints. All right, so mine can be viewed as a hot take, but I think that the Philadelphia Eagles are going to be disappoint this year. And I just think it's because of injuries. Carson Wentz is out. That's the biggest blow. And I think that last season, you know, Nick Foles came in, but I don't think he can replicate that kind of play. I think that Carson Wentz is out. You have Jay Ajayi, who's banged up right now. Alshon Jeffrey's banged up. I just think that going into the season, you kind of get nervous. We don't know. It's uncertain when Carson Wentz will be back. And coming off an injury that late last season, it just worries me. I don't know how he'll recover, how he'll look. And I think that the schedule kind of favors them early, but at the end, they have Los Angeles and Houston, week 15, week 16. I think that they'll lose to Los Angeles. I think that they could lose to Houston. And, I mean, they play a good amount of playoff teams from last season this year. And I just think that they're winning the division. There's no doubt that they're winning the division. But I just think that they're not going to be a top two seed like last season.
I mean, this is the thing, though. Like, their schedule does favor them early, except for the Falcons. They play the Bucs, the Colts, and the Titans.
Yeah, but I expect the Falcons to beat them. But
Nick Foles can win 3 out of the 4.
But you expect
them
to beat Minnesota or Jacksonville?
No.
They're losing to Minnesota with Carson Wentz, in my opinion, because he won't have any – he won't have had the sense of being in a game for so long. He didn't have the preseason – I think he's being limited. He's limited in practice now, and it just worries me a little.
I mean, who's to say that's going to be his first game though? We don't know when he's going to start. So I mean, he could play against the Colts.
All right,
the Titans.
Well, okay, you take away Minnesota, right? Let's say he comes back around midway through the season. He comes back week 7, Carolina. Week 8, Jacksonville. Those two defenses are amazing, and I think that if with the threat of either Alshon Jeffrey or Jay Ajayi being hurt, that already makes that offense less or a weaker. And if I'm Carson Wentz, I don't want to come back during Carolina or Jacksonville. All right, you come back against Dallas. Who do you play next? New Orleans. Those are out of those 4 games, those are 3 solid defenses. And that's with Jacksonville being a top 3 defense. I just think that with all the injuries, with all the uncertainty surrounding those injuries, I just think that they're going to disappoint. I'm not saying they're not making the playoffs. I'm not saying that they can't be a Super Bowl contender. They can be. I just think that, for me, the injuries early on this season to such key players worries me. Well, the defense is still going to be just as good.
Okay, this is my question for you. When you say disappoint, does that just mean the regular season, or
they're not going to the playoffs?
Because if they make it to the playoffs, I'm assuming Carson Wentz will be back, and most of those injuries will be.
Yeah,
gone.
But no, so, I mean, I get that, but I just think that they're not All right, they win their they win a wild card game because that's where I think they're gonna that I think that they're gonna play a wild card game. They're gonna get either the Vikings or the Rams, and that's not that's gonna be an ugly matchup. I think
with Carson Wentz, I could see them beating the Rams. I think it'd be a close game. The Vikings would be tough. The Vikings would be really tough.
But I think that you know this Eagles team should be a top. They could be a top two team in the NFC when healthy, right? I just think that their injuries at early on in the season are going to come back to bite them later on for a home either a home game or just matchup wise where you get the Vikings or the Rams, but what if you get them at home? And Philly, you want that?
Yeah,
there are certain teams that can take that you don't care about home field, but if you want want to be at Philly because they're going to lose in Minnesota if they play them.
So what are Philly's expectations, though?
Shouldn't it be Super Bowl or bust with the talent? They won a Super Bowl without Carson Wentz. Shouldn't they be able to win one? And they added – I'm pretty sure Michael Bennett, they added players to their defense. That was already dominant.
I feel like Super Bowl – I mean, I understand Super Bowl or bust, but I feel like if they make it to the Super Bowl again, it's not, like, a terrible season for them, even if they lose it.
I mean, I would say – Is it a terrible season for anybody if you make the Super Bowl? Unless you're New England because of the AFC.
No.
Other than that, I just think that on the NFC, every other team improved somehow in some way, shape, or form. And the Eagles just, because of injuries, we're not going to be able to see. There's just a lot of uncertainty. Yeah,
if Carson Wentz was healthy, you could say they improved because they're adding an MVP caliber.
He was an MVP caliber. He was the MVP last season. I don't think Tom Brady was just was better than Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz did so much for that team. And, I just think that with all the injuries surrounding that team, it just worries me a lot. Regular season, like I said, they're going to win the division. But I think that in the playoffs, that uncertainty with injuries in the regular season will come back to bite them later on. I think that's
– All right. Nick, is there anything you want to add to what we said?
Not really. I do think it's Super Bowl or bust for the Eagles.
It should be. These are the Super Bowl or bust teams. Vikings, Rams, Eagles, Patriots, Steelers. Jacksonville will be there next year, I think. I think that they'll be Super Bowl or bust in a season or two. But those five teams should be Super Bowl or bust because of how good their teams are. You win a Super Bowl with your backup quarterback. That's saying a lot against the best team in the best dynasty the NFL's ever seen. Belichick and Brady.
That's gross.
I think that for me, the expectations are still high for this team, and I don't think they'll live up to it. If they were healthy, they're not I think that they're a top two seed. I think that they could beat the Rams or the Vikings if Carson Wentz gets to play the whole season, and we don't know if he's gonna have any any setbacks or if anybody else goes down. And for me, it's just all the injuries early in the season. They're not gonna be a top two seed, and in the playoffs I think that losing that home game and having to play away will bite them. So
I think that whole team was playing on a high last year, especially when Carson Wentz got hurt. They were playing well above their margin.
Yeah, I think so too. I think even with Carson Wentz, they were playing on a high. So,
I mean, you look at many of the past Super Bowl champions, though, they've also played on a high. They've played above their expectations, and I think that's how you have to win it.
Sure, that's how you have to win it, but compare them to their following season. The Falcons didn't have that good of a season following.
But that's because of offensive turnover. That's just because Shanahan left. I think,
and the Falcons didn't win it. That's the thing. I think losing the Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl, it's different going into the next season.
Yeah,
in my
opinion. All right, so guys, let's have a little fun segment here. What is your best hot take? Which I should be asking myself that because I'm going first for this segment. So, my hot take is I'm boarding the train to Browntown, lads. I am with the Cleveland Browns, improving.
Ugh.
They're not going 0-16 this year. Well, how many games will they win? I don't know. but I do think that they'll improve just because.
Hold on. If you're making a bold prediction, I want their record right now.
A bold prediction is saying they're not going 0-16. That's expected.
Is it? It's the Cleveland Browns.
They have a bunch of talent. Right.
Bold prediction. They go 8-8.
Yikes.
All right, I'll give you that. I was going to say, it's going to be bold. They at least have to go 9-7, 8-8. So, okay.
They go 8-8. I think that they could do it. I added a bunch of talent on offense. They added – it doesn't matter who it is between Baker or Tyrod. I think that Tyrod's a solid quarterback. Unexciting. He's an unexciting quarterback. He's captain checkdown. But I think that he's shown enough in Buffalo. Ouch. I think that he's shown enough in Buffalo that he could not lead a team, but you can depend on him to not turn the ball over and not make many mistakes. You had Jarvis Landry, one of the best receivers. I'm not going to say that. I should change that. A solid receiver. I'm not going to say best. A solid receiver to your receiving core. You add that with Josh Gordon, who we know that when he's on his A game, he's a dominant receiver who defenses have to focus on. And somebody's going to have to defend Josh Gordon. They're going to have to focus on him. You have Jarvis Landry's threat. David Njoku's going to be a solid tight end. You had Carlos Hyde to that team. Carlos Hyde was a solid running back last year.
Carlos Hyde is good. He is really good.
Nick Chubb's pretty good. I just think that Duke Johnson.
They have three decent running backs. Dang.
Wow. I think that their offensive line is going to be okay. They're going to hold it down. I just think that. Just look, I don't have much to back it up. I just love the fact that this team added them, and I'll be damned if I say that I want to see them go 0-16. It just seemed painful. I felt bad for their fans. Yeah, it's Cleveland, but still, I think that if you're going to improve any time, it has to be this year because you added and you traded, and I just think that they made enough moves to where they're not good. I think that there's just competence, and that's something that the Cleveland Browns have lacked, competence. And if Hugh Jackson can be competent, the players on the field can be competent, then this team will be competent 8-8. You know what? The Browns are going to the playoffs.
No, stop. Okay. We're gonna hell no. Right there. Okay.
But yeah, they're going to go 8. I think that they can go 8-8. I think that Cleveland is going to – they're going to improve, and I think that This is the season where you see this team taking a nice leap, and you see them heading in the right direction. So yeah, that's my bold prediction: the Cleveland Browns improve and go 8-8 and have their first non-losing season in God knows how long. Because I sure as hell can't remember when the last time they haven't had a losing season is. And 1-31 is never a good look. All right,
I believe it was 15 years ago. It's their last winning season.
That is sad. I feel bad for their fans. 8-8. All right, who's next?
All right, I'll go next. I'm going to take out bias from this because if there was bias, I would say the Panthers make it to the NFC
Championship. Hey, yo, Hayden, Panthers in the Super Bowl.
God.
Hey.
Oh, God. Hayden
throws for 5,000 yards and runs for 1,000.
All right, okay, I said I was taking bias away. Throws for 53 touchdowns. All right? And it's a team you've heard me talk about a lot. The Houston Texans will get the number one seed in the AFC.
Still disgusting. Disgusting.
They're really talented, and I mean, you look at their schedule. ESPN, according to their FPI, has them as the second easiest schedule, and there's no tough games. There's no tough stretches in their schedule. It's pretty much a cupcake schedule. Their only somewhat tough stretch is just a 2-game stretch to end the year at Philadelphia and versus Jacksonville, but that's only 2 games, so you can't really consider that a stretch. And, of course, all the reasons I said before in the earlier segment of why they're going to be good, like Tyrann Mathieu and Deshaun Watson being back. I mean, I just think they break out this year. And, I mean, yeah.
Break out as a first seed, though. That is different. Come on, man.
Hey, I mean, it's a bold prediction.
It is bold prediction.
But, oh, that's just – I could see this team
being very similar to the Panthers team of 2015.
I said the Browns are going 8-8, so honestly, there's nothing that's crazy. It's 2018. Anything can happen these days. All right, what about yours, Nick?
All right, for mine, With the return of Ryan Tannehill, the Dolphins are going back to the playoffs.
No way. Are you
Yep.
serious?
Yep.
I would
8-8 will get them into the playoffs.
I would
at the
like
sixth
to
seed.
Hear your reasoning on this one.
Well, last time they had a healthy Ryan Tannehill, they went 10-6 into the playoffs with a much harder schedule and a worse team than they have right now. They still have Cameron Wake, who is still somehow producing.
Who are their receivers,
God
though?
Knows how old he is. Devontae Parker is a very underrated receiver.
But is that
Kenny
their
Stills
best?
Is decent.
Devontae
Amendola is
a
slot receiver.
Devontae Parker has not been that great.
Yeah.
He's been disappointing and is
He's
injured
all, right.
all the time.
They don't have a number one
know.
Receiver
I've had
or a number two receiver.
I had him on my fantasy team last season. I would know if he was good. He wasn't.
Listen, he was the number one receiver on a 10-6
because
playoff.
Kenny Stills. Never mind. I thought you were saying last season that he was the number one receiver. I was going to say first, that's Jarvis Landry. Second.
He was the number one receiver on a 10-6 playoff team. That's all I need. Their O-line isn't that bad. Their running back, Frank Gore, is a dinosaur, but he's still producing.
Can't carry this offense, okay? They don't have a solid number one receiver or a solid number two receiver.
Well, no, they're going to have a solid one because by default
they have two solid
number
two receivers.
No,
Kenny Stills.
Kenny Stills. First of all, Jalen Ramsey already said what he said about Danny Amendola, and I am on that. I'm on board with that. I just think that Tom Brady improves. You think Julian Edelman, Chris Hogan, or any of these guys would have been great on other teams?
Man.
I think Edelman would still be
the,
good
the
on
the Patriots bias here.
It's not Patriots bias. It's just the fact that it's a bold
Stop
prediction.
Hating on the Dolphins.
I'm gonna hate on the Dolphins.
Xavier Howard will be ranked inside the. In the top 10 for corners this year. He's going to have a breakout season. Rashad Jones is a phenomenal safety. They're going to have a good pass rush.
The question is,
I trust the Dolphins.
How confident are you in this on a scale of 1 to 10?
I'm decently confident. For them to go 8-8, I'm decently confident.
The Dolphins go 8-8? You think they can make it to the playoffs at 8-8?
If they do for the sixth seed, the AFC is not that good.
Let's not disrespect the AFC like that, okay?
The AFC
guys?
Will
a 9
not
and 7
eight,
team
yeah,
will make the playoffs.
A 9-7 team will make the playoffs.
Not 8-8.
This is how the Dolphins.
We have some quality.
Listen to the Dolphins' schedule. They already play in the AFC East, which has. I think the Dolphins have gimme games against the Jets and the Bills.
No, I think the Jets will be okay.
The Jets, I think are a better team
I think
than
the
Dolphins.
Jets might be a better team than the Dolphins.
That's
I'm
a
glad
hot
we're on
take.
The same page with that. That's
it's not
a
hot
take.
Take.
You guys need to stop disrespecting
their
my,
defense is right. better.
Ryan Tannehill is going to come and be the best quarterback in the NFC.
Oh,
AFC East. Yep.
Oh my gosh.
He'll send the Patriots back down to their
We
to
said
their
hot takes. This isn't it, Chief.
All right. Well, do you want to hear my – well, okay, here's my actual opinion on the Dolphins. They've got an absurdly easy schedule. They play the Titans,
there
the Jets twice,
go.
The Bills twice, the Raiders, the Bengals – the Lions, their only tough games are the Jaguars, the Vikings, and their two against
look,
the Patriots.
I have no issue because, like I said, I think
those
Green
are their
Bay
hard games.
My hot take was open the floodgates for anything, if we're being honest, okay? But I'm not going to sit here and just let you say that Tannehill is going to be the best quarterback in the AFC East.
That was more banter against
okay,
the Patriots.
I was going to say
Sam Darnold might be better. Tannehill.
Oh,
guys,
shut
guys,
your
guys,
mouth.
Guys,
Send
guys,
our husband to the playoffs
guys,
yet.
Guys, Nathan Peterman is really solid at throwing
All
picks.
All right. No. Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right about that.
Hey, Josh Allen has an arm, guys. Come on. Come on. Josh Allen has a strong arm. He's built like Cam Newton. LeSean McCoy could potentially play, like, not all 16 games. Kelvin Benjamin, he exists. Yeah.
Right. Just you assholes wait and see. If the Dolphins go 8-8, I'll collect on my bets.
I will buy.
No,
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 hold
no,
up, hold
no.
up, hold
8-8,
up.
I'm not
Nick,
gonna give you.
Nick,
you have to
Nick,
make it to the
Nick,
playoffs
Nick,
because
Nick,
that's
Nick.
A good prediction.
Nick, I bet you a meal that the Browns have a better record than the Dolphins.
Deal.
Wow. All
right.
I don't appreciate you hating on the Miami Dolphins. It needs to stop.
Oh man, it's just.
You wanted a hot take? I'm giving you.
I gave you. You gave me a hotter take than I expected.
Yeah, no, I want to finish this. Hang on. This is why I think they're going 8-8. First off, they will beat the Titans week one. They will beat the Jets week two. They will beat the Raiders week three. Lose to the Patriots. They'll beat the Bengals. Lose to the Bears. Beat the Lions. That puts them at 5-3. Lose to the Texans 5-4. Beat the Jets again. 6-4. Lose to the Packers, 6-5. They'll beat the Colts, 7-5. They'll beat the Bills, 8-5. Lose to the Patriots, lose to the Vikings, lose to the Jaguars, and then this last Bills game. I'll even take the loss of the Bills game, put them at 8-8. If they beat the Bills again, that puts them at 9-7. I have faith in Ryan Tannehill, and I think Devontae Parker can break out.
Whatever you say there.
You heard the games they play. These are not difficult games. This is one of the easiest schedules they could play.
Yeah, but for you to have an easy schedule,
if you want to swap out, then if they were playing the NFC West instead of the NFC North, I would honestly say they might go 10-6.
You said NFC West?
If they played the NFC West to the NFC North, because they'd get the NFC West next year. That gives them the Seahawks. That gives them the Cardinals. That gives them the...
That the Cardinals are better than them. I think that the Rams would destroy them. And I think the Seahawks could beat them. I think the 49ers win.
Okay, now first off, the Seahawks are terrible. That is a horrid team. That team will be lucky if they win 6 games, honestly.
Yeah. I think that they're gonna have a rough time this season.
What was the difference between that 10-6 playoff Dolphins team and this team, and the team they have now? What was the difference?
Yeah, I get what you're saying with that.
They won a bunch of games. They took a win off the Patriots. They took a win off. Actually, they were one play away that year from being 11-5. Like
what? 2 years ago.
2 years ago when they went 10-6.
But they played New England. If you're going to bring up the New England game, that was Jacoby Brissett playing starting that year.
I don't care. It's a win. Hey, at the end of the season, you may want Jacoby Brissett over Tom Brady. He may fall off.
All right, so guys, week one of the season, it's finally here. What are your games of the week?
Nick, right, so I'll go ahead. Clear, all right, just to be clear, we didn't include Falcons Eagles.
In oh yeah, we not yeah. We're Sunday not including games. The yeah.
But that would be the game of the week, in my opinion. If
really?
On Sunday?
No, not for me. All right, Nick.
I'll kick it off here. The Sunday night game: Bears versus Packers.
I like that pick.
You can see the Bears' revamped roster. Mitchell Trubisky gets to make his second season debut. See if he can use these weapons and a new quality head coach. Aaron Rodgers gets to kick off his 2018-2019 MVP campaign with a gimme win.
While also leading my fantasy team to the championship. But yeah, with this game, I didn't like it at first, but with Khalil Mack, you know, I think that improves the value of this game tremendously.
Yeah.
It makes it really exciting.
To me too. Well, I think it was an exciting game anyways just because of I don't know, maybe, you know.
You get to see the Packers' new revamped defense. You get to see if they actually have figured out how to play defense.
I think it'll be a good game. That's not exciting to me.
And for me, I still think that, you know, shut
your
mouth
and drive a good defense.
Hey, it's still a rivalry game, so I think that there's – you could see why people would want to tune in. I'll go next. Hayden, I don't know if this is yours, but I don't know if you're the same. You have the same as mine, but Patriots-Texans.
All right, so we have a common theme going with all of our predictions,
so,
which is
yeah,
work
I
out
think
on mine.
That, yeah. So Patriots Texans for me, last year it was a shootout, 33-36. Tom Brady threw a game-winning touchdown to Brandon Cooks.
That was a great game.
For me, I think that was Deshaun Watson's breakout game. He had 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, but 301 yards. We just got to see him play against a great offense, and they kept up. We saw just how good Deshaun Watson could be. He made great plays, and I mean, you're beating the Patriots with a minute 30 to go, in Foxborough. It just showed a lot, and we get to see how Deshaun Watson plays this year. We get to see, how he's recovered from that ACL injury. It was an ACL, right?
I mean, yeah, it was ACL.
It was an ACL.
Just want to make sure.
This is my second favorite game.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a shootout for sure. It's going to be extremely fun to watch. But for me, like I said, it shows me just how good Deshaun Watson has recovered, and we'll see Will Fuller if he's good now that Deshaun Watson's back. We get to see just how good Lamar Miller is in the defense for the Texans, and we'll get to see the Patriots offense. We'll see uh, the how good the receiver core is, and
receiver core,
and we'll find out if who's gonna contribute in running back. Because for me, that offense, I expect it to be good, but there's just a lot of questions for me in the New England offense. All right, so Hayden, what's your pick?
I mean, my opinion, I could have chosen like a bunch of different games. You have 49ers Vikings, which is intriguing because of Garoppolo going up against the Vikings defense. Jags and Giants is an intriguing game because, I mean, you look at the talent on
Odell, Jalen Ramsey.
Yep. And then you have Saquon going against the Jags defense in his debut game.
We see Tom Coughlin in that Jags game. We see Tom Coughlin faces well, he's not really faced, but we could see Tom Coughlin's team that he's built play one of his former quarterbacks and his former team. So,
but despite those games, I have the Cowboys and Panthers as my favorite game.
Bias.
I mean, you like chose bias. Your favorite team.
Yeah, but it's you. But I also they're playing the team you predicted to be the number one seed.
The Vikings.
The Cowboys always have interest in them, and then you. I mean, you look at
sadly.
Like, okay, so I mean,
but I get what you're saying.
The Cowboys, they are debuting their new season. Then you have the Panthers and see if they can continue what they did last year with Cam Newton and everything.
Last two times they've done well in a season, they've dropped off the next year. So
yeah,
we'll see if
so,
they drop off.
We'll see if they can go against that. And then
we'll see how McCaffrey does and Cam.
How we picked all of our games, there's a game at 1, game at 4:25, and a game at 8:20. They're all at different times. So, I mean, it shows you.
We also all picked our favorite team, but I think that me and Nick had a little more merit to our picks because
I don't think that's
the Cowboys don't have an offense, in my opinion. It's Zeke. But, I mean, you don't have anybody on.
You have no interest in this game?
I do because it's football.
I mean, Dak versus Cam, I think, is a good matchup.
It's not for me because when Zeke was out, Dak was not that good.
But Zeke is in.
Yeah, which I get it.
Zeke
but
is playing.
I don't know. I think that it's going to be – I'm not going to say blowout, but I think that the Panthers offense will handle that game and their defense other than Zeke.
I agree.
I think that Dak will – be like he always is consistent and has a high completion rating that doesn't get him anywhere, and Zeke will do his things, but I just think that for me that game's all Panthers.
I mean that's
fair, I'd agree with that too. The Cowboys aren't gonna be a good team.
All right.
The other games I was debating between, I don't think Jags and Giants would be particularly a close game, to be honest. I just like the matchups. And then 49ers Vikings, I could see the Vikings handling that game. So I mean yeah.
49ers going to win.
So in our three games that we picked, I see Green Bay winning against Chicago. But if Chicago stuns them, I'm not.
They won't.
I could see that being a tight game, and the Packers kind of pull away in the fourth.
I think that the Patriots beat the Texans, but it is going to be a scary,
that
scary
would be a
time.
Very close game.
I am going to be stressed out that whole game, and I think the Panthers beat the Cowboys comfortably. So, yeah.
Alrighty.